Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Los Angeles Schools Chief John Dacey is cleaning house at Miramonte Elementary School, where 2 teachers have been arrested and accused of lewd acts that involve a couple dozen students. Authorities say they don't think the 2 cases are related. But police acknowledge they investigated one of the teachers almost 2 decades ago. They investigated this same teacher again after a CVS photo processor reported upsetting pictures, and police proceeded to conduct that investigation for a year before parents learned of his arrest last week. Last night, at a community meeting full of angry parents, Superintendent Dacey announced he's replacing the entire staff at Miramonte, everyone from the principal on down to the custodial staff.
How is it conceivably possible? How is it possible that this could take place and you didn't know or say anything, is what I'm trying to understand.
A warning to listeners, some of the following details from L.A. Bureau Chief Chrissy Clark are disturbing.
The gym where the school chief made the announcement last night was so packed not all the parents could get in. Elia Gatica had to wait outside. Her son was in the class of one of the accused teachers, and like a lot of parents, she'd been thinking of transferring him to another school since the scandal broke. So when she heard last night that the staff was being replaced, she whistled a sigh of relief. A neighbor translated for her.
Given the news, she's willing to maybe give it a try and let her kid, you know, stay.
But the move doesn't undo the betrayal many parents feel, including Dalia Gutierrez. She said, also through a translator, that she heard about the arrests last week while watching television with her 10-year-old daughter.
She was watching the news and she came out of the room running. Says that that teacher took pictures of me.
Gutierrez says her daughter then told her that a few years ago, accused teacher Mark Berndt asked if she would help him decorate his classroom after school. As a reward, she says he gave her a cookie with a liquid on it, which Gutierrez now believes was his semen. That was hard to explain to her daughter, who's now 11.
Yeah, I didn't tell her. I didn't feel comfortable telling, like, explicitly, like, what exactly that was. It was something not good.
Gutierrez and at least 2 other families are suing the school district. Her attorney, Luis Carrillo, says parents began complaining about Berndt more than 20 years ago, and school officials were negligent in how they handled those complaints.
They kept it under the table, under the rug, and they failed to monitor the complaints that the parents had filed.
Miramonte is in a neighborhood that's mostly poor, immigrant, and Latino. Carrillo says in a more affluent area, things would have gone down differently.
School administrators are more responsive to parents in different cities like Santa Monica or Beverly Hills. They're less responsive to the Latino neighborhoods.
School has been canceled today and tomorrow at Miramonte Elementary to implement the staff replacement. When students return on Thursday, they'll have all new teachers. For the California Report, I'm Chrissy Clark in Los Angeles.
Later today, a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is expected to rule on whether California's ban on same-sex marriage violates the U.S. Constitution. The case could reach the U.S. Supreme Court as early as next year. California is not among the 40-plus states that have signed on to a $25 billion settlement with some of the nation's biggest mortgage servicers. Attorney General Kamala Harris was locked in talks with officials from the Obama administration as the original deadline of Friday passed, then Monday. California, New York, and other holdouts may still join in later, presuming their concerns about going too easy on the banks are addressed. How many tax hikes do you think you'll vote for this November if the economy doesn't pick up between now and then? 1, 2, 3? Governor Jerry Brown would prefer it if his proposal to tackle the state's budget troubles didn't have to share space with other tax hike initiatives on the ballot, but it doesn't look like he's going to get his way. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers explains.
An initiative that raises taxes is the hardest kind of political campaign to win in California. But this year, there are multiple efforts to do just that. All claim to be about fairness, and all are in some way focused on public schools, specifically K through 12 education, where per pupil spending has fallen dramatically.
Back when I was going to the public schools, California's funding was in the top five of the country. Top five. Yes, yes.
Molly Munger is an education activist on a mission and one with the money to do something about it. On Monday, the independently wealthy attorney was the star attraction at a state PTA conference. Munger has written an initiative that would temporarily raise income taxes on almost everyone. The resulting $10 billion would be earmarked for K-12 schools.
They must spend the money at the school for which it is earmarked. 99% of this money will follow the children to their school.
But others think an across-the-board tax increase is the wrong idea, which is why a different initiative aims at taxing the rich.
We think that ours best captures a sense of the times in terms of the economic hardship of the middle class and working class and poor people.
Anthony Thigpen is a community activist with the group California Calls. His organization, plus unions representing teachers and nurses, is pushing a permanent new tax on millionaires. That could bring in as much as $9 billion a year and would be for education, public safety, and social services. As such, the millionaire's tax differs significantly from the across-the-board tax initiative, but the two do have something in common. They think there's plenty of room on the November ballot. Millionaire's tax backer Anthony Thigpen.
We think this conventional wisdom about multiple ballot measures dooming all is just not true.
But the person who does think that's true is Governor Jerry Brown. His own plan is a temporary income tax increase on individuals making at least $250,000 and a temporary sales tax increase on everyone. The money would go to schools and local government. Even back in December, the governor warned that multiple tax increase initiatives on the same ballot would doom them all.
One of the things about elections, you want them simple. Complexity gives fodder to the opposition, and they can then stigmatize a measure and sink it.
For weeks, Brown has attempted to persuade backers of the other tax increase initiatives to step aside. But as the signature-gathering campaign begins, there's very little sign anyone is backing down. And that may not even be the biggest problem. Should all three tax initiatives make it on the ballot and all three be approved, it may take the courts to sort out if one tax increase trumps the others and which one. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, February 7th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.